And let us turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, as we look at the sending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. We will read together the first 21 verses of Acts chapter 2. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit within us, I want to first of all think about, where do we talk about the Holy Spirit? We don't spend a ton of time on the Holy Spirit. And partially correctly, because when Jesus tells us about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he tells us that the Holy Spirit will take that which is his, Jesus, and bring it to you. That he will bring to mind the things that Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit does not spend a lot of time saying, "Look at me." The Holy Spirit points us to Christ. Now, each week we confess the Apostles' Creed. And in the Apostles' Creed, we have three parts. The first is of God the Father. Then the second is of Jesus Christ. And the third, and you'd probably figure that one out, is of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Now, all of that behind there are the workings of the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Ghost within us. That he is the one who is working behind the universal church. He is the one who brings to us the communion of the saints. He is the one who applies to us the work of Christ in the forgiveness of sins. And it is by him that we will be raised, the resurrection of the body. And it is by him as well that we have the life everlasting applied to us. The Holy Spirit takes what Christ has done and applies it to individual believers. And now, as we read earlier from the Tower of Babel, I want to spend a little bit of time on that. The Tower of Babel was God preventing the sin of man from becoming the determining factor in history. It was a gracious act of God bringing the promise of salvation instead of the horrible promise of man's sinful power in the face of God. Man was rebelling again en masse against God. Notice their reasoning, so that we will not be spread out. So that we can stand against God, we're going to make a tower up to heaven. That was the idea. We have ziggurats all across the Middle East, whereby man made really tall towers saying, look how important we are. But of course, it's not about us. It's about God. Notice the reasoning that God gives there in Genesis 11. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Nothing that they purpose to do. Now, I've heard interesting interpretations of this. I don't want to get deep into that. But God says they're going to be very powerful. And they're going to be powerful in their sin, in their rebellion against God. Certainly they could not stand against God. But they would have great power to follow their whims of evil. And that would have made the spread of the gospel much more difficult. And so God confused their language. He created distrust and scattered them across the face of the earth. And this should be seen as a blessing from God. He brings the unwilling masses into obedience. And at the same time, He brings about the possibility, the certainty, that the coming of Christ would be spread across the whole world. But at the same time, as we even think about that, it also is a curse, isn't it? This confusion of languages brings the distrust of our fellow mankind. And so as we consider Pentecost, part of what's going on in Pentecost is that the language of God becomes the language of His people, worked in us by the Holy Spirit. We have one language of faith across the whole world. Yes, we speak it in different languages, but it unites us. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we talk about the communion of the saints. And I have sat in fellowships across this world where sometimes I didn't understand a word. But because we were worshiping the same God, we had that communion and that fellowship. And we had the brotherhood of what it means to be fellow Christians. And so as we look forward to heaven, we have this first fruits. What is Pentecost? Pentecost was the celebration of first fruits. And we have this first fruits. We have the first fruits of dwelling with God eternally. We have the first fruits of the unity of God's church brought about by the sending forth of the Holy Spirit. We have first fruits on Pentecost. And so the theme that we want to see as we look specifically at Acts chapter 2, the first 21 verses, is that on Pentecost, Jesus pours out the first fruits of His Holy Spirit on His disciples, reversing some of the enmity because of sin. On Pentecost, Jesus pours out the first fruits of His Holy Spirit on His disciples, reversing some of the enmity brought about because of sin. In verses 1 through 4, we can see the effects of the wind. I'm sorry, but we cannot see the wind. In verses 5 through 11, we see the witnesses that are there to the gift of the Holy Spirit that they come from across the known world. And in verses 12 through 21, we see that Peter answers their question, what does this mean? So first of all, you can see the effects of the wind, but you cannot see the wind. The disciples are obedient to Christ. Christ said, stay in Jerusalem. And so when Pentecost had fully come, they, the disciples, were all in one place. Luke 24, 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high." And we have Pentecost, as we've said, first fruits, the feast of first fruits, the celebration of the first fruits. The giving of the Holy Spirit flowed out from Jerusalem. If we think of the Gentiles with Cornelius, that the gospel came to them and the Holy Spirit then fell upon them as well. And we think of those who as well were brought the gospel, that they had heard only the preaching of what John had taught, the baptism of John. And upon believing on Christ, the Holy Spirit went out from there. Think of Paul being used to bring the Holy Spirit to those who believed through him, through the laying on of his hands, so much so that Simon, the magician, wanted that power to buy it. And suddenly, the whole house filled with the sound of wind. Notice one thing here. The Bible uses language sometimes that we get mixed up with. Not wind, but the sound of wind came from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. John 3, verse 8, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." God works in us, uses us. God works in His people to do and to believe that which is not according to man's understanding, not according to man's ideas. The Holy Spirit changes God's people in ways that the world cannot understand. "And divided tongues as of fire sat upon each one of them." Again, notice that those words, "as of." It was not fire, but divided tongues as of fire. And it could be that the tongue, the fire, or the thing as of fire divided to be on each one of them. It could also be that we have on each one a divided tongue of fire. But this is a representation of the fact that the Holy Spirit dwelt in each one of them and dwells in each believer, not just in them as a broadcast mass, but in each one of us God's Holy Spirit dwells. "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues." Notice the effects of this. We talked about Babel. We talked about the division of languages. God's Word brings people together. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them. One difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament: in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and leave. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells with us at all times. "And they began to speak in tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit." And I want to talk a little bit about speaking in tongues. We'll come to it a little bit later. But as we look at this passage, what tongues are they talking about? I want to ask you that question now. The Spirit is the one who gave them the ability to speak, gave them utterance. And then we talk about witnesses of this fact. Not just of the disciples as witnesses, but also people who were there. Devout Jews were dwelling in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. Now, it was Pentecost. It would have been a feast in which many Jews were in Jerusalem. But the word here does not speak of that aspect. It speaks of people who are devout Jews who dwell in Jerusalem. That's where they live. Now, there were three levels of people who were from outside of Israel. Those who were totally unconnected. Then there were God-fearers who believed in God but had not gone through all of the things necessary to become a proselyte, to become a full Jew. And then there were proselytes, those who, for the men, would have to be circumcised and a number of other things that were involved. And so there were devout Jews. These were people who knew the Scriptures, who knew the Old Testament, from every nation under heaven. And they were living in Jerusalem. And here comes this sound as of a mighty wind, and they gather together. We live in a small town, South Dakota. What happens when something interesting or different happens in Eureka? Everybody's got to drive by, right? Got to see it. Gawkers. Well, the same thing happened in those days too. Gawkers. Got to see. And this is rather an interesting thing going on right in the middle of the Feast of Pentecost. And what's their reaction? What happens? When this sound occurred, verse 6, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They heard them speaking in their own language. They were confused because what languages are they speaking in? Verse 8 tells us the language in which we were born. Now, okay. These are people from all over the place. We're going to look at some of the differences in a few moments here. But look at this. We have more than 15 languages represented here just in this passage. There are only 11 disciples to do it. Suddenly, the language barrier is gone. The gospel is brought to people of every tongue and tribe. They're not just speaking the common lingua franca of Greek or Roman that everybody had to be able to know so that they could do business. No, they were speaking the languages in which they were born. And they were amazed and marveled. And what do they say? Are these not all Galileans? Galileans were Hicks. The Southerners of the... actually, the North End, but... The Southerners of our culture, and I don't want to make fun of Southerners because they're very smart ones, but the Southern stereotype is what you're thinking here. They can't even speak English good, right? Well, they say, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, Mesopotamians and Judeans. So there were a few from Judah. Now these are all people of the same area as Judah, and their languages were related. But they were definitely different. If you've ever... I've studied a fair few languages. Aramaic versus Hebrew. Have you dealt with Aramaic at all yet? No? It's got the same letters, but they're not the same words. You can get there from here. Any of you know German? Nah, nobody here. You get in trouble, just go up to Zealand or to Ashley. The German they speak is different, right? If you've ever tried to deal with German versus Dutch versus Swedish, Danish, they're all Germanic languages. My language area seems to be the Romance languages. French and Spanish and Latin, and I get confused between all three of them. But then we get into different areas, Cappadocians, Pontus, Asia. We're going to be looking at some of this with regard to Peter in upcoming weeks. These are from the area that is now Turkey. And then we get into Phrygians and Pamphylians, those who were to the west, as were the Romans and Egyptians and Libyans down near Cyrene. And Cretans and Arabs from all over the known world. These languages were not similar. And yet, the Spirit gives them utterance. I ask you, what languages are these people speaking? What are tongues? Tongues are not just some spirit language. Now, Paul references, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, he's being exaggerating for the point there. Though I speak with the tongues of men, the languages that the Spirit gives utterance of were languages of peoples. These Jews, these proselytes who had grown up in these countries, knew the teachings of the Scriptures, and what were they now hearing? We read, and they hear, in our own languages in which we were born, the wonderful works of God. Verse 11. And so, they ask a good question. And Peter answers their question. That's what we see in verses 12 through 21. Whatever could this mean? They were amazed. They were perplexed. Look at this. This is crazy. These hicks are speaking multiple different languages suddenly. And they ask a good question. Whatever could this mean? And said, this is not normal. There must be something going on. This is Pentecost. Where do we go from here? Believe me, as someone who studied a few languages, getting languages, even if you just start learning a language, you don't start speaking it fluently and telling the wonderful works of God. Right? Anybody studied a few languages or one? You say, where's the bathroom? We enjoyed in Spanish class in high school the word for pencil sharpener. I can't even tell you what it is anymore. It's really long. But anyway, what does this mean? They're talking clearly, better than I am this morning. Can't get my tongue around the words, but that's a different story. They're talking clearly the words of God. Well, there's some guys mocking said what? They're full of new wine. Now, people who are drunk may sound weird, but that's not different languages spoken fluently, is it? Now, this is a simple explanation, and people babble when they are drunk. But they do not speak clearly in foreign, different languages, which they have never spoken before. And so Peter stands up with the 11. He raises his voice to them. And he says, men of Judea, verse 14, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Listen to me. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. Duh. Most people don't get drunk in the early morning. But this is rather the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. My men servants, my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. The Spirit would be poured out on all nations, on all levels of society. We have to understand how awesome, how wondrous this is. The Holy Spirit does not just go to perhaps the upper crust of society or something like that. He goes to whoever believes. It is not about our station on this earth. The Jews were very much worried about who was important, who had the right studying, who had the right place in society. And it is not what's important before God. God saves sinners. All who believe in me, we'll get to that at the end, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about the Spirit spread to all nations. Remember what the Israelites thought of all nations. Those are the goyim. They're dirty. Gospel's not for you. Perhaps think about our own reactions in this world in which we think about and perhaps do not like certain groups of people. The gospel is for them. For those who disagree with you politically. All of us need the gospel. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, fire, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. God worked wonders through the apostolic church. The gifts that were given in the early church were there to verify that the Word of God was what was being preached. We don't need those gifts today because we have that which is perfect has come, the Bible, against which to test that which is being spoken. And we do need to test every pastor who claims to be speaking for God against His Word. And by the way, brothers and sisters, that's why I am so adamant that we need to be reading this thing regularly, daily, so that we know what's true and what's false. So somebody can't pull the wool over our eyes. Because sadly, I'm afraid there's an awful lot of that being done. People being told, this is what's in the Bible. That's what's being in the Bible. And the people don't actually know. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Of course, this points us even further forward. Yes, the sun was darkened while Christ was on the cross. But the day will come in judgment in which the elements will melt with fervent heat. The sun will be darkened. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Again, remember the idea that the Jews had that they were the important people. They were the ones that God was going to save. Joel points out clearly for us, and Peter points out clearly for us on Pentecost, the gospel is for all nations. And that from there, of course, if we remember what Jesus said in the opening verses as He was ascending into heaven, and He said that the gospel would go forth from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The gospel was to go out. And brothers and sisters, we get a part in that by the work of God's Holy Spirit within us. And there are people in our own community who have not heard. There are an awful lot of people in our own community who have moved in and don't have a church home that need the gospel. And we should have love and pity for them to bring them the truth of the gospel without fear of man, but rather in thanksgiving to the God who has saved us. And so, brothers and sisters, God sends out His Spirit into this world. The world is broken because of sin. And God binds up those wounds so that all who believe have a fellowship, have a communion with one another. And God is the one who brings to us the one language of faith. Yes, we still speak different languages. This is the first fruit, certainly from that perspective. But brothers and sisters, we look forward to heaven in which we will all speak the same language, in which we shall be in the presence fully of God. We are the temples of God now, as having the Holy Spirit dwell within us. We have those first fruits in so many ways given to us, and we rejoice because it is through Christ that we have this, and we have salvation and eternal life. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, gracious, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit working within us. We thank You that You have spread Him out to all believers, and that we have God dwelling within us. We thank You that You have unified Your church across all nations, that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And we are just as much a brother or a sister of a fellow Christian in China or in Australia as we are to the one sitting next to us in our pew. We praise You for that, Lord Jesus, even as we do still struggle with the language barriers, as we struggle with the distrust in this world. Yet, Lord, we look forward to the perfection which You have for us in heaven. No longer the first fruits, but that You have given to us in Christ all of salvation and all of eternity. We pray, Lord, in thanksgiving and in praise, we pray, Lord, that we would live as those who are united by the Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.